And of course, he threw his little curveball in there, trying to get us to go over there. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's good. We had some good impact moments this morning. Amen. Before I forget, I want to share with you tomorrow. Leadership training night is tomorrow night. Even if you're not part of the leadership team, I would challenge you to come. I challenge you to come. There's some things I want to share. Maybe get your ideas. This is a place where you kind of start, and so we can kind of work out through some things. And I just think that it would be good if you were there. And that starts at 6:30 tomorrow night. And remember, we have a mission team with us. Some of them might be sitting in. So it should be a good night tomorrow night. And then at the end of service, remind me that we need to pray for the mission team that is actually traveling right now. They started coming from Mississippi this morning. They left at 5:30. So they're going to spend a week here, and they're going to do ministry work here all week. So I'm pretty excited about that. But if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10 and a little bit in Jeremiah. I want to talk to you about this idea that, you know, none of my messages are that I do, I go, okay, I'm going to do a message and I'm going to pinpoint it toward this person, or I'm going to make a message and go toward that person. I never do that. I just pray and see what God has for me to preach on. And so I study that and I go with it. And today it is a little bit about warning signs of falling away from the Lord. Falling away, and then you get to the part, a big part there would be maybe backsliding, but falling away is a word that we use more today than we did the old backsliding word. But there, you know, COVID come in and did a really big thing, but sometimes the COVID thing has been a kind of a crutch to us at times as well. But again, we have to look at the reality of how much damage it has done to people and those things. And what is some of the damage that it has done has affected people's attendance in church and those kind of things. But just because you can't go to church doesn't mean you can't have a good, strong relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that you're not faithful. But there is a part that's inside of us that's where our struggle begins. So where does falling away start at? Where does falling away begin? It begins in your heart. That's where it starts. It begins in your heart, in self-interest things. You notice that soccer games, all those things are always on Sundays. It seems like they're always on Sundays. All games, all those things. Always on, seems like they're always a lot of times on Sundays. And I get it, but that's where it starts. Self-interest or family interest and fleshly desires. Our own fleshly desires draws us away from the things of the Lord. And when we're drawn away from the Lord, we're drawn away from the Lord himself. So when we're drawn away from the things of the Lord, we're drawn away from himself. There's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. Many of you may know it, but it goes like this. He says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach." So what we see in here is the writer is telling us that there are a lot of people that have fallen away and forsaken the assembly, the attending of church. Now, I will tell you that most people that walk away from New Life Fellowship, if you walk away from New Life Fellowship, you may be changing churches, and that's fine. You may be doing things. It's not like totally walking away from the Lord, but it can be the beginning steps of it. But I can tell you, for me being a pastor over 20 years here, that most people, when they left the church, most of them never really went to another church. They may have visited a couple, but then they faded. They faded from attendance anywhere. Very few that I know today have joined another church. You know why that is? Because this is what I feel. I feel God calls a person to a church. And when God calls you to a church, it's what most people say, God's called me to this church. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do that. But when people leave, God's not calling them to leave. They're leaving on their own ways. So they really never find a really true home most of the time because God didn't call them to leave. Amen? A lot of people will tell me that God's called them to a church, but not many will say God has called me to leave the church. And usually, if it is a God thing to lead the church, usually it is a purpose. There is a reason behind it. Going off to the mission field, there is maybe some heavy, heavy, dark sin that the church is not wanting to deal with, and it is really right down the lane of, like, I gotta go. And that, you know, those things happen. But here he's talking about people that just decided just to go do their own thing. I want to share in Jeremiah that God has some speaking that he's talking about his people, because I want to tell you that God has a heart for those who fall away. He does have a heart for them. He has a heart for them. He says in Jeremiah chapter 3, the problem is Israel's in a mess. They keep you in the King James Version uses the word backsliding. But he says this. He says, the Lord said also to me in verse 6, in the days of Josiah the king, having you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain, under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, God says, return to me. God is patient, isn't he? He says, return to me. But he said, but she did not return. But let's look at verse 10 for a second. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. But in pretense. This whole idea of this pretense piece is this. Basically, this, it's putting on an act. You may show up, but you're really not there. You're physically there, but your heart isn't there. You see, the cost and the value of salvation was so high, and is high, that I think God is saying, I want your best. I want all of you. I don't want just your attendance. I don't want just your heart. I want your heart and your attendance. I want all of you. I want all of you as an individual. I want all of you as a person to be connected. And we see this falling away all over it in God's word. And we see it also in America. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to a few blogs. I do those things, but mostly the podcasts. And they have a lot of things to say about what's going on in the culture today in the American church. A lot of people are fading away from the church. I don't need the church anymore. COVID taught me that I can have my own relationship with God without the church. That I can do my own thing. That I still have a relationship with God. I'm going to tell you, that's not going to work very long. Even those people in China that are under persecution will be arrested for having a Bible, will be put in prison for assembling themselves to worship. They still find ways to assemble. They still find ways and under streets. They find ways in attics and attics and homes and faraway places out in the woods. They will find a place to meet because God calls us to meet. There's a drawing of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that draws us to assemble ourselves. But I want to help you today with some warning signs that I put together and through some scriptures and things I've seen that I think will help you see if you feel like you are maybe falling away from God. These are warning signs, kind of like on a car. You get these indicator lights that kind of beam on. Number one, your church attendance is little or none, and you have a little desire even to show up. That's probably a place, an indicator for you to say, maybe my heart is growing a little. Maybe I'm starting to back away from God. Number two, you're no longer excited or happy over salvations or baptisms of other people. Yeah, that was great. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Somebody asked you about it. Yeah, it's all right. But you don't have that joy that the Holy Spirit has when people come to Christ through salvation and to have that ordinance of baptism. When you don't feel the happiness for others, then there's an area in your life you're probably just that you're starting to fall away. Number three, you stop praying. You have little confidence in praying anymore. You feel like maybe God doesn't hear your prayers anyway. But you might pray only when something bad is happening. There's a tendency, that is the person that is falling away from God. Maybe you're working through some of these, but I want to tell you, you got to keep working it out. Number four, you stop reading your Bible. Now I want to take a side note here. Don't beat yourself up if you miss a day of a Bible reading. Some people are just so hard on it. They get to that place, they're just really, really hard on it. If you miss it, you pick it up tomorrow. Pick it up tomorrow. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up with the details. You're going to miss a few days. You're just going to. But when you stop reading the Bible, you have no desire to grow through it anymore. And you just sit there and collect dust. You're probably falling away. Number six, you spend less time in Christian activities when you used to spend time with Christian activities, but you no longer partake in those. You don't get involved. You're falling away. You're slipping out to the side. You're taking the side door, trying not to let anyone see you. Number seven, your heart. You feel your heart is hardening. This is a big one. Your heart, I mean, you could be serving, and your heart begins to harden over church, over ministries, over people, over worship, and your heart is hardening toward the things of God. Number eight, you stop giving praise to God. In gratitude, you stop giving financially your offerings to the Lord. You stop honoring God. You let everybody else do it. Number nine, you may be in attendance, but your heart isn't there. Talked about that. Your heart is somewhere else. And number 10, this is a major sign right here. Jesus, there's a time when you said, Jesus is my center. He's there. He's in the room of your life. He's in the room of your spirit. He's there. But now what you've done is you pushed him into the basement. You pushed him away into some small closet, and you're letting something else move in. That means that you are falling away. You're getting to that place where you're getting into a dangerous place of falling and backsliding away from God. Because it won't be long, you'll be doing the things that you used to do. You'll be struggling in your walk with the Lord until you get it right. God has a lot of compassion. I'm going to tell you, He has a lot of mercy. A lot of us would say, amen. And we're thankful for that. And God is patient. But His desire is for you to draw closer to Him. But sometimes the world can be pretty flashy. Sometimes worship service can be maybe a little dull. Maybe it wasn't the songs that you were wanting to sing. Maybe it's not even the style of music that you really like and you feel like you can really worship. Maybe you feel like the messages are all the same. Maybe you feel like you're not getting any place. I want to tell you, those are the things that I believe darkness will use. Doesn't mean God's not in those things. God is in those things. It just means that every time we go to church, we're not going to hear a fireball message. But God's word is still spiritual food and growth. Just because we don't like every song that we sing and as the praise team brings it forth doesn't mean we can't praise Him with it and worship Him. This is a heart condition. For the one that fades away from God, it is a heart condition. And I want to tell you, sometimes we have to look and see, maybe we might need a heart transplant or a bypass surgery somewhere in here. Because if the heart's not right, nothing's right. Nothing's right. If the heart is not right with God, then everything else is not right. Everything is off. And God doesn't want to deal with all of me. It's that one thing that He wants to work on is your heart. Amen. And every one of us is like a thumbprint Every heart is unique. And here it is. If you ever collected baseball cards, you ever collected stones, you ever collected rocks, you ever collected leaves, you're always looking for the one that you don't have. And it's a terrible thing when you have one and then it breaks. Our hearts have to be drawn to God. There's a peace that people can come up with all kinds of reasons not to attend church. Not to come into the assembly. Listen, there were some key leaders in this church that are not even attending church anymore. What the world happened? If they're somewhere else, great. But I know they're not. I know a lot of them are not. Getting mad about this because it didn't go my way in the church. Getting mad about this because this didn't go away. This didn't work the way it was when I was in this program or that or this or that. Don't let the little things mess up the main thing. And the main thing is your heart needs to align with Jesus Christ. And Christ was all about others. Others. And we need to learn that as well. So what do we do when we get to this place where I feel like I'm backsliding from God? I feel like I'm far away from God. I feel like He's 100 million miles away. What do I do with that? How do I get it right? Well, we have a scripture that's on this podium up here every Sunday for the most part. It is James right here. If you draw nigh to God, if you draw close to God, He'll draw close to you. It isn't that He walked away from us, it's that we're falling away from Him. And the only way to get that together is this. We need to stop where we are right now. We need to stop. Don't take another step away and further from the Lord. We need to stop. We need to stop right now. And we need to repent. We need to get our heart right with God. That's the first thing we need to do. Get it right. Something's wrong. Get it right. And I want to tell you this right now. There's nothing that Jesus Christ will not forgive you of. Don't sit there. I've heard so many people come into the church and the walls will fall down. No, they won't. As crumbly as this building is, it hasn't happened yet. And we've had some people come in here with some big sin. And they call big sin in their eyes. But listen, we all have big sin. But Jesus Christ, He wants this. There's a part that we have to do. He does all so much more. But we must take action in our own life. We need to stop and we need to repent. Because let me tell you this. I always say this. We're not as smart as we think we are. I'm not. But I will tell you this. When we do something wrong, we know we did. We don't need to tell somebody. We don't need somebody to tell us always that we did something wrong. We know what we've done against God. Amen? We know. And when we stop and we take that moment and we repent, listen, sometimes that comes out by just falling on our knees. Sometimes that comes down with some tears. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you're talking to the Lord. Talking about whatever is going on in your life. And you know what? It does feel good when you unload it. Come on now. Amen. You carry that burden for so long, it gets so heavy. You can carry burdens for so long, and they stay heavy, and they weigh you down, and weigh you down, and weigh you down. And you've got so used to fooling and faking your own self out. And when you come to that place where you stop, and you say, enough is enough. And let me tell you, sometimes we say enough is enough, but I want to tell you when the Holy Spirit says, stop. You know that voice. And you know you do. And you need to stop and you need to repent. Seek the Lord's face and you just deal with it right there. It isn't about getting everything better. It isn't about trying to have this conversation with God about justifying it. No, it'll be all out repentance, forgiveness and repentance, prayer, peace to God. Some of us here today may need that. And those who don't, we've been there before. Sometimes we're there more than one time, and it's okay, because that's life. as a believer. We find ourselves messing up. So what do? We stop, and then we repent, and then what do we do? What do we do once we repent? We turn around, and we start walking back to Jesus. That's what we do. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes you feel there's you can feel the stirring of the Spirit. And the closer, I believe, as you begin, I tell you out of experience, the closer you begin, as you begin to walk toward the Lord, I'm going to tell you that it gets stronger and it gets stronger and it gets stronger. And it's not because you're getting better, it's because you're getting into the presence of God again. And because God's presence is amazing and massive and strong and powerful and convicting and forgiving and beautiful. And I want to tell you, when the Lord wraps His arms around you, oh my goodness, you may have a cry moment again. Just because of His compassion that God has for people that come and return to Him. You see, there's a difference between someone that comes to Christ and comes to the Lord and someone that knows Christ and comes back to the Lord. You see, when someone doesn't know Christ and they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ saves and forgives and promises eternal life and all the awesome things, they just hear, I'm a sinner. I need the Lord. Oh my gosh. And they go, and He begins, it's a newborn child in the Lord. And Jesus just takes them as a baby and just loves on them, picks them up, and they go. With all the junk they got, it's okay because they're new in Him and they're forgiven. But when someone has a relationship with Christ and they start fading away and they begin sinning in their life and they come to that moment where they stop, they repent, and they turn around, let me tell you, when they start coming, their eyes connect. Our eyes connect because we already know we have a relationship with Him, but it's not good. God already knows you because you're a child of God. You're coming back as a family member, you're coming back as a child of God, not as a baby in Christ, not as a newborn baby. So you're coming back and you know who the Lord is. I don't want to tell you. You run, you start walking, so many of us will start running toward Him. And we'll be running toward Him with tears in our eyes because we know that we really messed up. But we know that we just want to wrap our arms around Him. And just throw our head into His chest and say, I'm sorry. I messed up. And then we'll just talk about it. And He'll say, Scripture will say, all's forgiven. Was with you. I saw you. Come on. Let's go home. And then what does God do with that? Then He begins to restore what ministry you walked away from. Come on now. He begins to restore those things that you walked away from. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But He begins to restore. But when He restores and you keep your heart with Him, listen, He uses it because He can't help but to bless you, and He'll make it even stronger than it was before. Because that's the God that we serve. And I think one of the most important part of what God does with this is that He begins to mend the broken heart. He begins to mend that broken heart and begins to soften that hard heart. And it begins to get on fire again. Life comes back into you. Spiritual fervor and spiritual fire begins to call into your life again. I love the Lord today for His forgiveness. Amen. I hope you do too. Because without that, I'm telling you, I have my moments. Woo! I've had some moments in my life. I want to read out of Hebrews chapter 12 for a minute. Out of verse 2 and 3. Well, let me lose one real quick and I got to close out. Therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before. Let me remind you that when you're away from the Lord, you're not even running in the race. You stepped out of the game. Okay? But here it is, verse 2. How do we work through this? How do we work through it where we don't fade away and fall away? Many of your versions will say, look unto Jesus. But my favorite piece is, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's about Jesus. If you don't have Jesus this morning, I'm going to tell you, you don't have Him, you don't have Him. That's just a fact. And you need that first part. You need that part of coming to Christ with salvation. Surrender yourself to Him as He gave Himself for you. But also for the Christian who's had that experience and has that salvation, but not acting, not living the right life, falling away. It's time to come home. It's time to get it right with Him. It's time to stop, repent, turn around, and walk back to Him. Let me tell you, God is in the people business. You're either saved or you're not. That's a people business. You're either in God's will, serving Him out, you're trying to work things out as a Christian, or you're over here falling away from Him. It's all about God and people business. And nobody knows people better than God. Amen? And let me tell you, He's given us more mercy than we should have. He's given us grace. Oh my goodness. He's given us grace that we don't deserve. And He's loved us more than anyone could ever possibly love us. With all the people that love us combined, He loves us more. And let me tell you, He loves you right where you're at. But He loves you enough not to leave you there. He wants to draw you into a personal relationship with Himself. And He wants to draw back the believers into a close relationship better than they ever had. But until we stop, we're still going to be at a distance. Let me tell you, Jesus is right where you left Him. He never took a step away from you. All steps between you and Him are the steps you've taken away from Him. Father, as we take this moment of reflection, I pray, Father, that Your Spirit will move upon us in a way that only You can. Lord, You've had a good part of this service through singing and through our call with Pastor Joseph and our Father's Day remembrance and celebration, our baptism, recognition, and the Word being preached. Father, this is a moment that we set aside, Lord, that we may hear from Your Spirit individually, that we may do what Your Spirit is drawing us to do. Use these moments, Lord, to work with people in a way that only You can. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Let's make this about Him and you. Now this is where you get into the spiritual fight.